Tired of not being able to get a hold of anyone when you have questions about your credit card? With 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yes, you heard that right. You can talk to a human on the Discover customer service team anytime. So the next time you have a question about your credit card, call 1-800-DISCOVER to get the service you deserve. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
What's up, this your boy Lil Duval, and check out my podcast, Conversations with Unc, on the Black Effect Podcast Network. Each and every Tuesday, Conversations with Unc podcast feature casuals and in-depth talk about ebbs and flows of life and the pursuit of happiness. Unlike my work on stage, I tap into a more serious and sensitive side to give life advice and simply offer words of encouragement, yet remind folks to never forget to laugh. Every Tuesday, listen to Conversations with Unc, hosted by Lil Duval on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Presented by AT&T. Connecting changes everything.
You know you've got a comeback in you. When you take the next step, you're going to make it count. For your career, for your family, for your life. You can earn a degree you're proud of with Purdue Global. Purdue Global is backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected and innovative public universities. This is your chance. This is your opportunity. This is your comeback. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
Ridiculous History is a production of iHeartRadio.
Welcome back to the show, Ridiculous Historians. Thank you, as always, so much for tuning in. Let's hear it for the man, the myth, the legend, Mr. Max Williams.
Williams.
Love it.
Sorry, I was going for a new kind of woo.
I like
and
it.
I had a bottle. I'm a prop comic now.
Yeah. Man. And we've always gotta expand our horizons, try new things.
There's some other objects in here. Yeah. No, nothing really.
We're recording live. No, there's cool stuff. Our shoes are cool.
Yeah.
I'm Ben, you're Noel. What kind of shoes are you rocking today?
I'm a Vans guy, but yeah. I've got a couple that, you know, I've actually in my old age become a Crocs guy.
I know.
Much consternation of my 15-year-old child who actually for my birthday bought me what they consider an acceptable pair of Crocs.
Right. That's a very recent development. Mm-hmm. And Max, what kind of shoes are you wearing there, man?
So I have some partially recycled Adidases on because I try to only wear shoes that are at least like 40% recycled now.
I'm sorry, did you say Adidases?
Adidases.
I think Adidas may well be its own plural.
Like sheep?
Like sheep. Or
Adidas's?
Yeah. Adidas.
Yeah. Well, we're gonna get to that because there is a reason we're talking about shoes.
I only wear Crocs on special occasions, though. By the way, I love Vans. Uh-huh. I have a pair of Jordans. I finally got my first pair of Jordans. I'm a dad, so I have some new Balances that I wear to the gym. What are those, Ben? Those are cool looking.
What are those?
Ben is taking his shoe off.
Yeah, I was trying to figure it out. Don't worry, I cleaned up. These are fresh socks.
It says Toronto on the bottom. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, it's weird. I didn't notice. These are called Hoff.
Oh.
No idea.
Sounds cool.
No idea. Okay, so off-brand shoes. We're talking about a really interesting story, a history of logos and a history of sneakers, because I don't know if you and I aren't got like big basketball guys. So we probably don't think of, well, we're not big sports guys.
We don't have Mad Boosties.
We don't have Mad Boosties, but that's a great show. Shout out Jack and Miles.
Do we need someone to talk about sports?
No.
Well, I'm just saying.
No, we're good.
No, I'm right here.
I know.
You
it's
are.
Okay.
Noel and I don't think about sneakers a bunch. So it's weird when you realize that they're some of the most recognizable brands in the entire world, like the Nike Swoosh.
The Swoosh, yeah, or like the Pepsi Swirl, mm-hmm. You know, the McDonald's Golden Arches, the Rolling Stones Lips and Tongue, which is actually kind of a rock and roll middle finger to all of that kind of corporatization and logo, you mm-hmm. know, slinging.
Yeah, exactly. And we're going to explore the story behind some of these logos. I think we start with the big dog first, Nike.
I was astonished to find, I think we all were surprised to find, that Nike wasn't always Nike and they didn't come up with the swoosh immediately or on their own.
That's right, Ben. And you know, Nike now I associate more with the shoe company and the brand than I do with the Greek goddess of what? See, I don't even remember what she was the Greek goddess of.
Greek goddess of victory.
Victory, yeah. But obviously that's what Nike is named after and has taken over the associations with that word entirely, along with that iconic, it's a check mark, but it's curvy, you know, it sort of makes you feel like speed. It has a feeling of like quickness or like, you know, disappearing like with a flash, like that's the vapor trail you leave behind yourself or something.
Yeah, right? It's supposed to be like a wing. It feels dynamic. So back in the day, when these two guys start the company that will become Nike, they're track and field bros. It's Bill Bowerman and Phil Knight. In 1964, they combine their powers because Bill used to be a track and field coach at the University of Oregon. And this guy, Phil Knight, was his student back in the day. They got together and they started a company called Blue Ribbon Sports, which would have been amazing for Pabst Blue Ribbon.
That's right.
A few decades later.
Bill Bowerman. You think people called him Bilbo for fun?
Probably. Yeah, it depends on how fun he was.
I would have been cool with that. And you know, Nike is still based in Oregon today. I actually didn't realize that until pretty recently. But in 1964, they started this Blue Ribbon Sports, which is, it's just not sexy. What does that say? It sounds like a kind of a mom and pop sporting goods store where you might get like baseball tees printed for your little league.
Yeah, and I associate Blue Ribbon with awards, with culinary awards.
Exactly.
Like Blue Ribbon jam. Pie.
Yeah.
Or jam or something.
Pie jam.
Yeah. So maybe not the best association now, but we get what they're talking about. First place is what they're
sure.
saying.
Sure. Or, you know, the prized pig at the fair. And initially, this Blue Ribbon Sports, they did have a logo, but it was something that I actually wasn't super familiar with, but it kind of makes sense. Something called a letter mark. So they basically just had these initials, BRS, that were sort of, you know, laced together on top of the company's word mark. Which
What's
is
a word mark, you might ask?
Different than a letter mark. Exactly. A word mark is basically a typographic treatment. It is a font. Typically would need to be proprietary font, like a custom sure. design font. If you use some, you know, we talked about this, I think, on the fonts episode, mm-hmm. like how, well, actually, you know, what's funny is I believe the logo that Mr. Elon Musk has chosen for his new social media app, X, is actually like some sort of hexadecimal code from a set of characters that is completely untrademarkable. And he just hasn't gotten that far in his thinking yet. He just like shoved it out there. So
oh boy.
You can't make a logo for your company in Comic Sans and then register that as a word mark, right?
Yeah, yeah, exactly. And gosh, I had so much fun on the font episode, particularly when we got to the story of the Wingding guy.
It was a font of conversation.
It was. And Max is just letting us know he put a drum beat in there. And these logos are important. They communicate with the world in multiple ways. You know, it kind of hacks your brain. So even the most simplistic appearing logos have a lot of thought put behind them. Probably one of the most famous word marks is FedEx. And if you have somehow not heard this, folks, the reason the FedEx logo is so impressive is because if you look at it, you'll realize that they built in an arrow.
That's right. Yeah, it's a hidden arrow. It's an arrow that's created by the negative space, I believe. And that's the thing. I mean, you mentioned all the work and research and all that stuff. A lot of money goes into these seemingly simple and innocuous creations, too. Logo design is a massive expenditure for a company because they put research and development into it. They do focus testing and all kinds of things. Sometimes it's crowdsourced, which, you know, if you remember the episode of Silicon Valley where Gavin Belson was trying trying to crowdsource what his signature would look like on the new The Box. And the most popular one looked like a giant penis. And he did not clock it, like, at all. And the irony was that he was going to have his own signature crowdsourced. Because his actual signature, apparently everyone said it made him look like a sociopath.
Yeah, yeah. That's the tricky thing about crowdsourcing anything. Shout out to Bodie McBoatface. So these guys didn't crowdsource, but they did understand that their branding was important. So Blue Ribbon Sports, BRS, people are wearing their brewers, I guess you could call them, and they're buying them from out of the back of this guy's car in the very beginning. And they say, look, our branding is fine, but it seems pretty complicated. We don't want people to have to think and process a lot. We want them to see something, identify it with us, and buy the shoes. So in 1971, they get together and they decide to change the name of their brand. They land on Nike after the Greek goddess of victory. Mm-hmm. And over time, they got to the Nike swoosh. But the question is, how did they get there? Who came up with the idea?
Tired of not being able to get a hold of anyone when you have questions about your credit card? With 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yes, you heard that right. You can talk to a human on the Discover customer service team anytime. So the next time you have a question about your credit card, call 1-800-DISCOVER to get the service you deserve. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
Snag a Job is where America goes to hire, with the deepest talent pool in hourly hiring. With access to over 6 million active hourly workers, Snag a Job is the all-in-one solution for hiring high-quality employees who can cover all your needs. On demand, temp to hire, part-time or full-time. You name the position. Warehouse worker, retail associate, grocery store clerk, fitness trainer, baker, stylist, bellhop, podcast producer. Yeah, Snagajob's got a worker for that. With our easy-to-use platform, you're able to seamlessly post and fill available positions quickly, with a dedicated customer support team to provide all the help you need along the way. Kind of nice knowing you have a talent pool like that in your own backyard, right? Snagajob is the partner you need to keep your business running smoothly. So visit snagajob.com or text snag to 242424 to talk to an expert. Snagajob.com, where America goes to hire.
This episode of Ridiculous History is brought to you by Mint Mobile.
You know, Ben, I gotta say, one of the best parts about spring cleaning is that post-clean clarity you get where you're like, man, how have I been living like this? What's wrong with me?
You're right, Noel. It's kind of like when you find out you've been paying a fortune for wireless when Mint Mobile has phone plans for $15 a month when you purchase a 3-month plan.
It's time to switch to Mint Mobile and get unlimited talk, text, and data for $15 a month.
To get this new customer offer and your new 3-month unlimited wireless plan for just $15 a month, go to mintmobile.com/ridiculous.
That's mintmobile.com/ridiculous. Cut your wireless bill to $15 a month at mintmobile.com/ridiculous.
$45 upfront payment required, equivalent to $15 a month. New customers on first 3-month plan only.
Speed slower above 40 gigabytes on unlimited plan. Additional taxes, fees, and restrictions apply.
See Mint Mobile for details.
Well, it wasn't crowdsourced, but it was kind of a homework assignment for somebody.
Yes.
Like, I believe it was a young graphic design student who was studying under somebody that knew the Nike guys. And then it was sort of like, hey, these guys are looking for a thing. Here's an opportunity for you to get some real world design experience. Mm-hmm. And, you know, some billable hours, which I think in the 70s, the going rate was something like $7 an hour. And that was like pretty decent.
That was
pay.
Still kind of a sweet deal. Mm-hmm. Yeah, because you're right, man. She was a student at Portland State University. And she started as a journalism major, if I recall correctly, and then took a design course just on a lark.
Carolyn Davidson, by the way.
Oh, yes, mm-hmm.
Yep,
yes.
Yep.
This brilliant designer does also have a name. She gets her bachelor's degree eventually in 1971. So the story, the way we heard it, is that Phil Knight, remember that former student who had started a company, he was teaching an accounting class at the university, and he overheard Carolyn Davidson say, like, complaining that oil painting supplies were expensive. And so he said, look, you can come work with me. Why don't you create some charts and do some graphs and stuff like this? Because I've got Japanese executives coming in. I need to impress them.
Japanese people love charts and graphs. It is known.
I think most people like a good graph. I'm a sucker for an infographic.
Yeah, for sure. But it's like, I like ones that like convey very little information.
To jump in here, actually, guys, we're here in the studio, and right before we got recording, I ran into two of our coworkers, another Ben Juster and Alex, and I was like, hey, how was y'all's meeting? He's like, good, there's a PowerPoint. I'm like, ooh, I like PowerPoint. I'm that guy.
Okay. We should like have a podcast where we just critique PowerPoints verbally.
Let's do it.
Uh-huh.
I love that, how easily that will work on an audio medium.
Exactly.
Or, you know, we have cameras in one of these studios now. We could just... No,
my pitch is it's purely audio.
Okay. I will accept that pitch if we can also kind of make this our home-based studio, like Max was saying, and get just a cartoonish, like an offensively large picture of a very complicated graph.
If we're going to have room with the grandfather clock.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah.
You see it, right?
Yeah,
you see it. You do
huge.
See it. Okay. I have a question, man. It seems like this is one of these apocryphal kind of tales where it's almost the stuff of legend, where like, as we, you know, a minute ago, we were saying that it was almost like a competition where they looked at several options, you know, and that there were some like design students that were sort of tapped for this. But then there's this version of the story where it's like the benevolent knight, you know, in between his accounting classes while being the CEO of a burgeoning footwear empire is like kindly offers to pay her $2 an hour so she can buy paint.
Oh, yeah. Earlier we had said... we wanted to get back to this, so we said $7 an hour. That's a really sweet gig.
Yeah, I was overshooting significantly.
Well, you know, maybe Phil did pay her that much. Maybe. That'd be cool. So here's what happens. The way we understand it is the swoosh design is reluctantly chosen out of several options. And Carolyn, like anybody who's been a freelance graphic designer, you know how this works. Mm-hmm. You have to come in with several comps, comparisons. People look at them, they tell you what they do or don't like. And according to Nike's own website, when Phil Knight first saw the swoosh, he said, I don't love it, but it'll grow on me.
See, I find that to be pretty forward thinking. Honestly, because I mean, sure, you know, they weren't what we know of the Nike empire today. They were still on their way to that thing, right? They were still a little bit of a smaller, scrappy operation.
Sure.
So they probably needed to move quickly. They wanted to like get this thing chosen so they could move on. They probably didn't even quite see the significance of it at the time.
Yeah.
But to be able to say, you know, maybe this isn't perfect, but let's roll with it because I think it could grow on me. And then it's become one of the most iconic, you know, brand marks of all time. Just so recognizable. But then you have to ask yourself, is that because it's really good or just because we've been seeing it for so long?
That's the question. Sort of a chicken and the egg kind of thing, right? So it's nuts because they just happened to choose this curved check mark and it had Nike in hand-drawn script across it. You can see a picture of this as well. The reason it's the swoosh is supposed to be reminiscent of several things, of accomplishment and of wings, because the goddess Nike was known for being a personification of victory, and she had a wingspan. She could fly.
Oh, she had wings?
Yeah, she had wings.
Oh, you know what? you might recognize some famous sculptures of her where her head is conspicuously missing. And it's just like the wings and no arms. There's definitely some statues of Nike that didn't make it. You might even have some in your local art museum. But that's right. I guess when I think of the wings and shoes, I think of the guy with the winged shoes.
Yeah.
Who was that?
Hermes.
Hermes. Mm. Is Hermes not cool enough name for a shoe company?
I mean, he's got a past.
Isn't Hermes in charge of like the River Styx and like hell, basically?
No, that's somebody else.
That's the boatman. Hades.
Hades. Yeah. Hermes. Hades. You can get the confusion.
Hermes is a character in Futurama, but yeah, Hermes. Didn't we do an Illumination Global Unlimited ad years ago about a Hermes mop?
Yes, written by our pal Lauren Vogelbaum.
That's right.
Yeah, that was a weird one.
Check that episode out. But anyway, they go with Nike. She's got wings too. Again, I would go with Hermes because I think he's got wings literally on his shoes already.
That's a really good point.
Seemed like a missed opportunity, but yeah. Nike it is. They got the swoosh. I can see it now. The swoosh represents sort of the curve of the wing. I'd never really associated it with a wing. I think I always, in my mind, envisioned it as like the sort of blur that's left behind as you're sprinting. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and I think that's valid. I also thought of it, growing up, I always thought of it as like, check, that's done.
Yeah.
You've accomplished thing. We found out the name of this check mark, the swoosh. It's a bit of onomatopoeia. It's supposed to be, just like you mentioned, Noel, it's supposed to be reminiscent of the whoosh sound that the shoes make when they're running by you.
Got it. Okay. So that's the thing about logos, is they conjure a lot of associations and connections in the mind of the viewer. You know, you can obviously help feed those associations with the actual products the company makes and with, you know, advertising campaigns and all of that stuff. But over a long enough time, brand names and brand images really can start to have a very powerful impact, you know?
Yes.
And we're going to see that in another example of another kind of athletics clothing / fashion company, you know, because a lot of these brands that started off as like, you know, for runners and athletes have really become like streetwear and like super high fashion and all these crazy collaborations with like designers and influencers and, you know, pop cultural folks. And
The fashion house Chanel makes sneakers. Mm-hmm. I did not know.
Yeah. Have you ever seen any of those horrible Balenciaga sneakers that are like $10,000 a pop and look like they're just covered in hot glue?
I kind of want those red Mario boots.
The Mario boots, you do not. All right, you get those. I'll get the yellow Crocs versions. And we have to rock them together on the same day and walk with our arms linked up.
All right, but Max has to be in too. Max, you got to get weird shoes.
He can throw rose petals behind us.
Oh, but what weird shoes am I going to get? I mean, I have a friend who's really into elevator shoes. So I might get some elevator shoes and be like, you know, walking behind y'all being like 6'4".
Are those like platform shoes?
Yeah, they're like elevator platform Pacino shoes. Yeah.
Like Herman Munster shoes?
Yeah. I have a friend, she's about 5'4", and she wears 8-inch elevator shoes.
My kid wears some kind of Herman Munster-y type clodhoppers.
Yeah, I've got some old boots that I wear around. You got to be careful, though, because when we come into the office, man, I can't walk in wearing combat boots. It seems strangely on purpose and indicative of things that I am not attempting to put out into the office.
It's anarchy, man. I almost wore my Crocs to the office today, but I absolutely should and have no problem doing it. But I just thought, not yet. It's too soon.
You guys stop letting your kid push you around.
Oh, they got me this. It's got a little Mario Kart, what do you call those things? Little fidget guys on it.
Go in
the holes.
Yeah, there's a word for those.
There is.
You told me.
And I can't remember
okay.
it now.
Well, we'll get to it. But here's what we want you to know about this design, about Davidson. At this point, we might think this is yet another story of a creative person kind of getting the short shrift from these immoral corporate folks, taking credit for the work she did and so on. But luckily, that's not exactly the case here. Davidson, who is alive today, maintains that she doesn't know how long she worked on the swoosh.
But she doesn't know how much she billed them, right?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
How much did she bill them?
I think it was like for 17 and a half hours at the rate of $2 an hour, which is $35 that she got in the check for this job, which I did inflation calculator it so we can do a boop.
And a doop.
In today dollars, it's $267.36, which still is like low. like yeah. for a design job. Usually a designer today for that kind of work would probably be getting $50 to $100 an hour on a like freelance, like low end kind of. I
would like think. Help make, you know, blue ribbon trophies, the mom and pop.
Sure.
Store. Yeah. So this unfortunately is a pretty common story. It often happens in the world, but Davidson's tale ends a little bit differently. She didn't profit immediately from her work designing this thing, which she did do on her own. But eventually the company came back and gave her a proper thank you. They threw a huge party in her honor, and I think they gave her stock.
They did, worth upwards of $1 million, which is cool. What does eventually mean, though, by the way? Are we talking like the 25th anniversary of the swoosh or like a couple years later?
Yeah, that's a good question, man. Did she, for instance, like, did she write a letter? Did someone get mad at them? It was 1983. So it like 10 years.
10
later.
Years. That's the,
more than 10.
But here's the thing. I don't want to derail this too much, Ben, but
yeah.
like, is it immoral to pay somebody the going rate for a thing that then becomes larger than life? You don't know that it's going to become larger than life.
Right.
They didn't. I wouldn't say they took advantage of her at all.
I don't think so because, you know, again, they're scrappy. At that point, they were working together. They were more casual, you know what I mean? And
the company just wasn't yet what it had become.
No.
And you could argue it wasn't like the swoosh all of a sudden made Nike what it is. Nike made Nike what it is, and they hustled and they got huge.
And another aspect of this is, you know, you see this in so many industries, what like podcasting. Right? Because we make a lot of shows, you know, and it can be tough to tell which ones work out. And it's continually mystifying. That's why for a lot of agreements in the creative world, you'll see people bake in stuff like, hey, if my little jingle turns out to be a big deal for Dell, I would like some more money.
I would think that a lot of companies would really balk at that, though. It is a very common negotiation tactic to give up as few like points on the back end of things as possible, because then you're tied to somebody forever. If it's treated like a work for hire situation, then it's like, we paid you your rate. You delivered us the product.
Good day to you.
Good day to you. Go with God. But it's really cool. It worked out great. Kind of like that. What's the Flamin' Hot Cheetos guy? It was like
the guy who was a custodian.
Yeah. And there's a movie that just came out.
Invented Flamin' Hot Cheetos.
It's called Flamin' Hot Cheetos. It's about the story.
Stick with what works. That guy, that's smart.
Did they hook him up? Like, well, I think there was a happy ending there too, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah. There totally was. And those stories are inspiring. I think it's cool to hear it. They also, this is a strange flex. Phil Knight also gives Carolyn Davidson a gold and diamond ring engraved with the Nike swoosh.
Wait, like as a marriage proposal? What are we talking about?
Unclear. I think it was just, hey, this swoosh is good. Yeah. Remember the swoosh from earlier?
Yeah.
To jump in here, actually, I don't think it's, I don't look at this as weird as maybe y'all do, because gold and diamond rings, those are pretty common for when you win a championship. So like when the Atlanta Braves won the World Series a couple years ago, everyone up above a certain level got a World Series ring.
Look at the gold sports brain on Max.
Max with the facts.
Boom.
Also, one of the other weird things he gave her, chocolate swooshes. But anyway, I think this
okay,
is
now
just
Okay, now it's consensual.
Now it's just, I think he's being nice.
Did he feed her half a dozen oysters while he was at it?
Oh, jeez, yeah.
Give her champers. A really creepy foot massage.
Play some Sade. You know how it goes.
I love Sade.
Sade is amazing.
Tired of not being able to get a hold of anyone when you have questions about your credit card? With 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yes, you heard that right. You can talk to a human on the Discover customer service team anytime. So the next time you have a question about your credit card, call 1-800-DISCOVER to get the service you deserve. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
Snag a Job is where America goes to hire, with the deepest talent pool in hourly hiring. With access to over 6 million active hourly workers, Snagajob is the all-in-one solution for hiring high-quality employees who can cover all your needs. On demand, temp to hire, part-time or full-time. You name the position. Warehouse worker, retail associate, grocery store clerk, fitness trainer, baker, stylist, bellhop, podcast producer. Yeah, Snagajob's got a worker for that. With our easy-to-use platform, you're able to seamlessly post and fill available positions quickly with a dedicated customer support team to provide all the help you need along the way. Kind of nice knowing you have a talent pool like that in your own backyard, right? Snagajob is the partner you need to keep your business running smoothly. So visit snagajob.com or text snag to 242424 to talk to an expert. Snagajob.com, where America goes to hire.
This episode is brought to you by eBay Motors. eBay Motors is here for the ride. Noel, do you remember your favorite car?
Well, yeah. It was an Eddie Bauer edition Ford Explorer.
Oh, that's
and
cool.
I just remember it was my dad's. I was a hand-me-down car kind of kid. Dad would buy a new car. I'd get that car. And I just remember feeling so awesome being up above everybody. Like I was in Mad Max or something. You know,
I had a lot of land yachts that I loved. I had Pontiac Bonnevilles.
Right.
Oh, I never had an El Camino. My dad had one. And that was a real interesting use of our collective time, keeping that thing running. But I think these cars all kind of speak to us because they were such a fundamental part of our lives. Do you remember when I had that Monte Carlo?
That's what I meant. I said El Camino and I meant Monte Carlo.
I miss it. So the Monte Carlo was tough. I had a series of Monte Carlos, and the last one, God bless it, I had to learn a lot about car maintenance just to keep that guy running.
Totally. But
it still was like a perfect fit. It's almost like finding your true love. You know, like when you recently got a car a few years back now.
Oh, man. And funny you should say that. That particular perfect fit was the Honda Fit, which I love dearly. But, Ben, it's getting a little long in the tooth. And while it's been incredibly reliable up to now, it's getting to that age where I might have to start looking for some parts here and there to keep it running.
Mm-hmm. And that's where eBay Motors comes in. With over 122 million parts, you can make sure your number one ride or die stays running smoothly.
Brake kits, LED headlights, roof racks, bumpers, whatever your baby needs, eBay Motors has it.
And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back.
Plus, at these prices, you're burning rubber, not cash.
So keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com.
Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
And before we move on, Max, while we've got you, you have a bit of a Nike connection yourself, right?
Yeah. So before I worked here at iHeartMedia making podcasts, I was an independent podcast maker myself. And my original co-host, this guy named Kevin Kuhl, literally his name, his last name is K-U-H-L. And this guy's so cool that he donated his kidney to his coworker at Nike. Yeah, he works, he lives actually in Hillsboro, Oregon, works on the Nike main campus. So he does not like that I wear Adidas's, I'll say that, or Adidas I. We're going to go with Adidas
I. It's just Adidas, bro.
Adidas POTUS.
So if it's the combination of Adi and Das, right, then it could be Adidas's because it's plural. It's two things together.
Yeah, but it just doesn't sound right. I just say, do you wear Adidas? I wear Adidas. It's like when you're like, talking about a brand, I don't think you have to pluralize it.
Yeah, it's kind of like pants.
That's
like,
right.
I always... It always gives me a slight chuckle when I'm talking to a very aesthetically centered fashionista person.
Sure.
And they're like, ooh, I love this new fall pant.
I love a pant. It's a singular pant. It's just the one leg. Last thing, being pedantic here. If it's a company that makes multiple things, you wouldn't say Adidas. You wouldn't pluralize it. You say, I'm wearing shoes by Adidas. I'm wearing a hoodie by Adidas. I'm wearing my Nike tennis shoes.
Mm-hmm.
But you also then could say Nikes. I don't even know.
I got to tell you guys, I suspect English may not be the best language.
I think that's probably, you think so?
I've been studying it for quite some time, and I have at best a rudimentary grasp of how it works.
A lot of willy-nilliness to the English language. No question
idea.
About that. I had one little personal anecdote I just wanted to mention. Mm. I actually worked with Nike for a little bit, developing a podcast about Jordans, Air Jordans, and like that whole story of Nike and just how they figured out how to like get in on that branding and like, associate themselves with this like up and coming superstar. They were like glued to Jordan from like the earliest days. And then they got him wearing his own signature red shoes, all of that stuff. There's a really cool documentary about it. So I learned a lot about this stuff that I wouldn't have normally learned. So I actually propose that maybe we could even cover a larger, you know, part of the Nike story, because it really is pretty interesting. And there's also, you know, the connection to skateboard culture,
sure,
and graffiti culture, yeah, and like hip hop and all stuff.
Yeah.
I think, you know, ridiculous in that it's ridiculously interesting.
Absolutely. I agree. I think we're unanimous in this. The motion carries. Maybe we can get ridiculous history branded sneakers one day. Dream big, right?
I'll talk to my buddy Kevin. Actually, one of the best things about knowing someone who works at Nike,
yeah,
is you can go into the Nike store and everything is 40% off.
Wow.
It is all like basically at cost.
Hook me up.
Well, maybe not at cost per se, but like it's like 40% off. Sorry, you can go there and be like, okay, I'm going to grab all these really nice shoes. Uh-huh. And they're like, $50.
Oh, snap.
Can you just tell him you know Kevin?
Yeah.
Well,
yeah,
no,
yeah,
you need to have like a pass on your phone. It is intense. And like,
we'll just can only go give you like with two them.
Yeah.
And we're like, Kevin, be cool. I bet you never heard that before. I'll take some Air Force Ones.
You can have it.
He was also in an episode of Ephemeral, too.
Nice.
Wait, are Air Force Ones Nike?
Yeah, they are.
Okay. Phew, good.
Those are the Jordans. They're a style of Jordan.
Right, exactly. Yeah. Duh.
So the swoosh first comes out on something called the Nike Cleat. It's one of the first shoes the brand ever makes with their new name.
Is it, in fact, a cleat? Or is it just being clever? Because it's capitalized. So it's like the name of the shoe. But I think of a cleat as like golf shoes with the pointy things on the bottom.
Soccer shoes.
Soccer shoes, yeah, I guess. Yeah, yeah. Or like, but some of them are pointier and sharper than others. Mm-hmm. Some of them are just rubberized. And I would imagine that's probably more what we're looking at. Because we actually also have another type of shoe called the Nike Waffle Racer.
Love it.
That supposedly was the original prototype, was made by literally using a waffle iron to make the treads on the bottom of the shoe?
Yeah, and it follows what Bill and Phil wanted to do in the very beginning. They wanted to make running shoes that were much lighter, that wouldn't weigh you down when you're running track and field. And the Nike Waffle Racer is still around. It's a running shoe.
I have a pair of these.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And, you know, the cool thing about Nike, too, is like they're always doing cool throwback kind of things.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And, like, they've got such a history. It's like Nintendo, you know, where they've got this pantheon of characters. Mm-hmm. But in this case, it's like, you know, designs from throughout the ages. And we talked about this a little bit because we're, of course, talking about design in terms of the logo. But, like, the swoosh also just integrates really well into the shoe design, you know. And they have, like, different, like, colorways and stuff. And, like, the swoosh will be yellow and the shoe will be blue and all of that stuff. And, like, I think I have actually become – not a sneakerhead, like I don't have like a closet full of them, but I'm into the culture. I think it's really, really cool. And I appreciate the aesthetics and the design that goes into it.
And Atlanta is a great city for it.
It is. Yeah.
I love this stuff too, man. And the US public loved Nikes when they came out. And there's this big thing in sneakerhead culture where the exclusive drops are a huge, huge deal.
Oh, yeah.
People buy the shoes as investments.
Yeah,
or
flip
them.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they flip them for sure. And they also they go through two extraordinary lengths to be able to get an exclusive shoe of some sort. Ah, I just said shoe instead of shoes to our earlier point. Anyway, so this is an old pattern for Nike. Consumers saw this at the U.S. Track and Field Olympic Trials in Oregon, and they couldn't get their hands on the shoe until 1973, and everybody wanted one. At the time, you could get the Nike Cortez, which came out around the Mexico Olympics in 1972. That also had the swoosh on it. Eventually, like you said, they link up with athletes. That's kind of a story for another day. They also land on some color schemes. Warm red became the color of choice for the official logo. And, you know, now you often see a black swoosh, but it was meant to hit your brain and stay in your brain. And a lot of graphic design professionals have studied this
right
in depth.
It's got a golden ratio-ness of it all.
Nice.
You know? Yeah, yeah. And if you think about like some of the most sticky brands, you know, over the years, oftentimes they have these concentric circles when you break them down, like the Apple logo. It's all concentric circles if you really like plot it with like a compass or whatever. And I'm sure this is part of a school of design that I'm not aware of that was like being taught, you know.
I did not know this is a job, but it is a dream job for someone. And Max, this might be a dream job for you, man. We want to introduce you to Todd Radom. Radom, R-A-D-O-M. His job is to design sports logos, sports-related logos. He's a veteran. That's all he does. I didn't know that could be someone's career.
That's pretty wild.
I'll say that's cool and all, but guys, I have found the job that I want, and it involves being with you two.
That's really sweet, Max. We love you too.
Yeah.
Will do.
Shout out to all the cool teachers playing this for your students. Yeah. So
I think I'm probably gonna have to beep that one.
Oh yeah.
Okay.
But you can also you could keep my disgusted astonishment if you wish, and then people will just have to use their imagination as to what you said.
It does feel like an emotional roller coaster when you edit it that way. Awesome.
God, I want to buy some shoes. I'm just like Googling images of Nikes. And now I'm just like, these are so cool looking. There's a Nike store in the building where we used to work.
Oh, that's right.
City Market. Yeah. And so it's a good one. They often, you know, get these drops that we're talking about. There's also, you mentioned the whole like sneaker culture and flipping and all that. There's a really neat place in Los Angeles and on Melrose called Flight Club, which first of all is an awesome name. And that's the kind of place where you go to see like classics, you know, and just, you know, the early Jordans and whatever. And it's just, you know, they're $1,000 sometimes, you know, for these like vintage pairs or these specialty limited edition things. Because the genius, and a lot of brands do this, like Supreme and, you know, whatever, is scarcity. They do these limited edition drops or collaborations with artists, and they only make so many. There's like a pair of Jordans that's like Ben and Jerry's theme that I think are some of the most sought after ones that you can find.
Yeah. You know what? That's what we should wrap up on, because full disclosure, folks, we wanted to explore some more sneaker logos, but I think we all three of us got so into the Nike story that we're going to keep this one just with Nike. I've got some fun anecdotes about Reebok pumps. We'll save that for an episode in the future. But for now, Noah's thinking a good way for us to end is to look at a ridiculous list of the most expensive Nikes in the world. I'm just going to ruin it. Number one is the solid gold OVO Air Jordan, $2 million.
Jeez Louise.
And the shoes are kind of useless.
And the shoe that I was just talking about, by the way, Ben, the Ben and Jerry's, they're called Dunks. And they're kind of cow prints on the side. They sort of like have the blue sky and grass kind of logo that you see on a Ben and Jerry's thing, and then the yellow swoosh. I'm seeing pairs upwards of $1,800 because apparently they were just done in such limited supply.
Yeah. Here's the thing, though. I think that counts a little better toward our stats than the solid gold OVO Air Jordan. As any hip-hop fan knows, when you heard me say OVO, that is Drake. In 2016, Drake spent $2 million to get these custom Air Jordans, and the shoes are made of solid gold.
Jeez,
so you can't really do anything with them except like look at them and say, oh, look upon my sneaks, ye mighty.
Do you remember when Nike came out with the like Back to the Future 2 Nike shoe that was like the ones where they automatically lace up, like, you know, he puts them on? They kind of look like ski boots, but they did briefly have a very limited drop of these Nike, you know, Back to the Future shoes. And once again, this is a company that got in on the ground floor of pop culture to the point where they get to put out a version of their shoe that was in a movie. You know, I mean, like, truly, I think also, like, Ripley and Alien was wearing Nikes.
Sure.
You know, like, they just, they've been in it from the start and were masters of cross-promo and branding.
Yes, really good at product placement, incredibly imaginative.
And by the way, those Back to the Future shoes now go for about $58,000.
we want to continue exploring the story of not just the Nikes, but of course, Adidas, as we've been discussing for a while. So we'll get back with that. But for now, thank you, of course, to Mrs. Davidson for designing a logo that changed the world. And thanks to our research associate, Jeff Bartlett. Thanks to our super producer, Mr. Max Too Fast Williams.
Huge thanks to Alex Williams as well. Yes, they are related. Who composed our theme. Christopher Asiotis here in spirit. He's Jeff Coates, roaming the wide world of podcasts, wherever she may be.
Yeah, yeah. Big, big thanks to Gabe Lusier. And of course, thanks to Jonathan Strickland, a.k.a. The Quister. I wonder what kind of tennis shoes do you think?
Jesus. Louis Vuitton? Nike Airs? $352,000.
The Nike Mag was, the Waffle Racing Flat Moon Shoe, $437,500.
Unbelievable. We'll see you next time, folks. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows. This episode of Ridiculous History is brought to you by Avalon Waterways. Ben, are you in major need of a vacation right now?
Noel, you're a mind reader. I am, and aren't we all?
We are. While cruising remains popular, there's something big happening in the industry, and that is, my friend, smaller ships.
True story. The intimate ships of Avalon Waterways can go where the big ships can only dream, through winding passageways of rolling vineyards and castled hills into the heart of timeless cities and storybook villages.
That sounds like a delight. See how Avalon's smaller ships promise greater discoveries, fewer people, and more of everything.
Limited time special offers await at avalonwaterways.com.
Rev up your thrills this summer at Cedar Point on the all-new Top Thrill 2. Drive the sky on the world's tallest and fastest triple-launch vertical speedway. And now, for a limited time, get more Cedar Point fun for less with our limited-time bundle for just $49.99. Get admission, parking, and all-day drinks for one low price. But you better hurry, because this bundle won't last long. Save now at cedarpoint.com.
Get emotional with me, Radhi Devlukia, in my new podcast, A Really Good Cry. We're going to be talking with some of my best friends.
I didn't know we were going to go there on this.
People that I admire.
When we say listen to your body, really tune in to what's going on.
Authors of books that have changed my life.
Now you're talking about sympathy, which is different than empathy, right?
Never forget, it's okay to cry as long as you make it a really good one. Listen to A Really Good Cry with Radhi Devlukia on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.